fellow citizens, it's come to the attention of my benevolent administration that at the time of recording, the World Cup final will be upon us. This falls in with my plans for world dominion. Just before the match, one of the teams will be replaced with a squad of my specially trained androids. Just before kickoff, instead of some operatic diva singing the national anthems, I will substitute them for William Shatner, singing his dramatic reinterpretation of Three Lions. With most of the crowd catatonic and the opposing team's ears bleeding, they will have no choice but to concede the match. This will kickstart my plans for world domination. Today, FIFA. Tomorrow, the world. It endeth my address.
Oh, hey, what a brilliant plan.
Wonderful.
Doesn't that
fail to succeed.
Doesn't that contravene the Geneva Convention?
Even better.
Doesn't FIFA always do it?
Give
me that.
Welcome, dear listeners, one and all, to this, the latest in a long line of Staggering Stories podcast.
So very long.
I'm Grumbly.
I'm Fake Keith.
I'm Adam.
I'm Jay.
I'm the head of Jean.
And I am...
lacking in a belly vest.
Yes. She destroyed one of my belly vests.
No, you destroyed it. I just recycled it.
What happened to the belly vest?
It's old and fell to pieces.
It got a bit of...
Were you still talking about the belly vest?
Waistcoat. Waistcoat. It's my posh one, the one with the filled-in buttonhole.
Mm. Would it be the head of Jean or Max Jean Room?
I think the head of Jean.
I have to ask a question there. It's just so good. Did you say it was the posh one with your butthole?
Button. The first buttonhole for the button is so deep, so you can't use it.
Now, we have no Scott today because he has been sort of pulled into a wormhole made up of various different Wi-Fi feeds that just aren't working, and they needed someone cute and little to send in, so they sent him
to crawl into the wormhole.
Yeah, we hope he'll be back next time.
Like a young boy being sent up a chimney.
Exactly.
Anyway, dear listeners, presidential red cards besides, it's the news with El Presidente.
Woo-hoo!
Alien : Earth : Season 2 adds cast.
Ooh.
The Alien, as in the 1979 Ridley Scott film prequel series Alien : Earth, is well into production of its second season, and we have some new cast names to add into the mix with the existing Season 1 cast. We have Peter Dinklage of Game of Thrones fame and his castmate from that series, Jerome Flynn. Also Sam Spruill, who recently played Makkar Targaryen in A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. Fourthly, we have the curious addition of British comedy legend Tracy Ullman, who isn't entirely alone in that category, as the series already has Adrian Edmondson.
Yes.
There is no official date for this to hit Hulu Disney Plus, though this year seems a stretch, much more likely in 2027. Interestingly, this season is shooting back-to-back with showrunner Noah Hawley's other upcoming series, Far Cry, based on the video game series of the same name.
Apparently it's a budgetary thing.
Yeah.
One production's rolling straight into the next one.
Yes.
Interesting way to do it.
Same background team as well, I would imagine.
Sounds like they're doing a bit of the what they did with Torchwood and Doctor Who.
Yes.
Keep the same crew going while they're in post-production. Star Trek and Terminator. Anniversary cinema returns. As is becoming common these days, some big films of yesteryear are returning to the silver screen via the magic of not having to recreate 35mm film prints anymore. This time we have a couple of good films to rewatch at the cinema, namely Star Trek IV : The Voyage Home, aka the one with the whales, celebrate its 40th anniversary. Sure, it makes them feel very old.
It does.
Yep.
And Terminator 2, Judgment Day, ooh, for its 35th anniversary.
Ooh.
Interestingly, both are set to hit the big screen again on the 4th of September.
I feel a trip to the Cinebob coming on.
I already have a complaint about this.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. What's that then?
What, Mr. Grumpy?
Well, when we went to watch Supergirl earlier to review for this podcast, I, across the cinema, happened to notice the poster on an LCD screen. So I took my short-sighted wife over to the poster. Look at this! Look at this! And did it come back on? Did it, buggery?
Oh, I looked at an advert for ice cream for about 5 minutes before I said, I've got to go to the toilet.
The long poster. And then on the way out with Scott, I noticed it about five times on five different screens, but I'm on my own.
I haven't seen it once.
It is. It is.
I didn't believe it was on until Adam just read that.
You never believe what I
say. I would definitely like to see Judgment Day at the cinema.
Both of them, actually.
I think I'm more hankering towards Trek 4.
I think we're seeing both of them.
Both.
But seeing both would be contented.
I saw them both the first time round.
Yep. Exactly.
At the Crawley Cinema, not that cinema that we currently have, but the previous one.
Yeah. The one that is currently Turtle Bay.
Yes.
Right. Justin Richards.
Dead. This is sad.
Writer of much Doctor Who tie-in media and major audio monger Justin Richards has died aged 64. His sons broke the news on social media.
We are deeply sorry to announce that Justin Richards died on the morning of Sunday, 28th of June 2026. Known to many as the range consultant for Doctor Who for BBC Books, a prolific and lauded children's novelist, a regular audio writer for Big Finish Productions, and the creator of Irving Braxiatel. Justin was near to us first and foremost a devoted and adored father, husband, brother and son. Justin spent the last decade of his life living with early-onset proto-temporal dementia and passed away peacefully in a nursing home in his beloved Warwickshire. He is survived by his wife Alison, his sons Julian and Christian, and his mother and brothers.
Richards was also script editor on all 13 seasons of Big Finish's Jago and Lightfoot series.
It's a shame.
That
is a shame.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember hearing many years ago now, probably 8, 9 years ago, that he was ill, yes, and a lot of people were very upset back then.
I've got a sad addendum.
Another one?
I was going to say, any addendums?
There was a couple.
Yep, Sam Neill, dead. Age 78, which was also a shock because he only, I think it was March, he declared himself cancer-free. And it was announced by his family. He died in Sydney and it was sudden and unexpected. He was 78 and his list of credits is longer than the world.
Yes.
We know him for Jurassic Park, Hunt for Red October, Event Horizon, Peaky Blinders, The Piano. He's just been in everything. And if he was in something, you knew it was probably going to be good.
Portable Door, I think the last thing I saw.
That was a good one, wasn't it? We saw that at the cinema.
On the news just now, before we started the podcast, they were doing the little tribute to him. And I hadn't realised he'd auditioned for James Bond. And they showed you his bit of the audition where he came in sort of like, Bond, James Bond.
He was of the opinion that it was probably best that he didn't get it.
Oh, really?
He said he didn't have a good audition.
Well, a lot of people think that's going to end up getting it, don't they?
Yeah, this is true.
On a slightly brighter note, I have a couple of addendums.
Lay them on us.
Mm-hmm.
My first addendums is you can have a sleepover at Button House. In celebration for the launch of the new feature film, Ghosts, the Possession of Button House, you can now have a sleepover at West Horsley Place. It's where they actually film Ghosts. It stands in for Button House. And the activities are £135 per head. Sleepover includes after dark film tours, ghost themed cocktail, a silent disco, and guests can view episodes at the Manor House Library.
That's actually quite reasonable.
Yeah, it is.
And wouldn't it be awesome if you were there sleeping in your bed and discover that it is actually haunted? Do you have any more addendums?
I have more addendums.
Do you have addendums coming out of your ears?
I was just seeing if there was anything else on that last one that I could include, but no. My next addendum is the Fugitive Doctor.
Oh, yes.
No, no, no. She now has her own sonic screwdriver.
Oh, this is what I could hear her talking about.
Yes.
Okay. Do you think it's one of
yours? Yeah, no.
You can never tell.
For Circuit Breaker, they have issued her with her own little sonic screwdriver. It's meant to relate to the Second Doctor's, but it looks more like the War Doctor's to my mind.
Right, yeah.
But it has a little pen clip on it, which is meant to be the Second Doctor's pen torch.
Oh, yeah.
And she seems to be very, very pleased with her
the sonic screwdriver. It is...
Woman is enthusiasm personified.
Oh, yeah. It has the pattern on in the end that lights up rather like the weapon that she utilised in her first...
Appearance.
Fugitive. Yeah, Fugitive the Doctor. And it also, a la the original sonic screwdrivers, has a pull-down activator.
You
pull it down with your thumb.
Excellent.
It makes sense to keep it more like the Second Doctor's, because if she previous to him...
Yeah.
It would be quite plain and fundamental and not new technical like it's developed over time.
Yeah, in look, it's more multicoloured, but it's about the length of the War Doctor's and has a light on the end rather than light facing forward.
Mm-hmm. Is it something that's going to be sold publicly or is it just for her?
No knowledge at the moment, but I have a sneaking suspicion one might appear as a special
at a later date.
Options one-off.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, mind you. Going back to what you were saying about sort of hauntings and ghosts and things like that, I've recently made the mistake of starting to watch Most Haunted.
Oh!
Yes, oh yes.
Is that the Derek Okora one?
Annette Fielding, is
Yvette Fielding.
Yvette Fielding.
And the guy is supposed to be a demonologist and sort of dresses like one.
They are so much fun.
Oh, they are bad.
Was it Molly Loves Dick or something?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Do you get the feeling they weren't entirely taking them seriously?
I think.
No.
Yeah.
Any more news?
Nope, that's my addendums.
And that's the end of the news.
Ooh.
Right, we went to the cinema.
Cinema.
Yes.
In the heat.
Oh, well, it was nice and cool in there.
Air-conditioned cinema.
Yes. Yeah.
It wasn't that cool.
Mine was.
His ice cream melted.
That was cooler than the one I went to.
Oh, good for you. You're not a menopausal woman trying to survive a heat wave. Anyway.
I'd be worried if I was.
Well, speaking of air conditioning, when myself and Fake Crumbly went to see Dune 2, the air conditioning in the cinema had broken down, so it was a truly immersive experience.
You pay extra for that, usually.
Yeah. We've been to see Supergirl. Pause for music. Other music.
I didn't hear that in there, did they?
No.
None of the John Williams fanfare.
No, none of it, I don't think.
They did in
if it was,
Superman.
Yeah.
From last year, wasn't it? Yeah.
If it was, it was buried deep.
Yeah. But that was Superman's theme. Why would it be in Supergirl?
Try to remember what her theme was in the 1980s Supergirl.
I don't know. I tried to put that out of my head.
Ooh. Oh, she must have had one, but it's not very memorable, is it?
No.
They didn't get John Williams to do it.
No. Their budget was somewhat restricted by that point.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is the 2026 version.
This is starring Millie Alcock.
Yes.
Which, when I heard that she'd been cast, because I'd only ever seen her in House of the Dragon.
Yes.
I thought, how on earth? Because she's very prim and proper looking and everything's swept back and that.
She looks rather sulky in the promotional poster.
Yeah. Oh. But the, what are those people called who...
Smurfs.
No, not the Smurfs. The other ones.
The
not the Scientologists. The ones who don't like films for a living.
Oh, critics.
Thank you. The critics have kind of panned this. I'd heard nothing but bad things.
Mixed reactions.
Yeah. Hmm. So naturally, of course, we wanted to see it.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really did. I have very little bad to say about it, apart from the fact that it was 15 minutes too long because I really needed a wee.
It's not done so well at the box office, apparently.
No, it's done extremely
and I've
badly.
Heard a few diehard comic book fans of the Supergirl aren't impressed with it because it's she only got drunk once and this is making out she's an alcoholic and it's all to try and teach the girl this killing doesn't matter. And I said, have you actually watched it?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I was seeing some of the stuff about the differences between the comic book that this is somewhat adapted from, which
Woman
is
of
the
Tomorrow.
Woman of Tomorrow, yes. But I'm not familiar with that comic book. I kind of meant to try and find it and give it a read before this, but I just literally ran out of time for that stuff this past couple of weeks. Too much other stuff going on. This also had a lot of problems behind the scenes as well, this film.
Oh.
It didn't test very well in the test screenings, so much so they actually had to sort of, they did a cut that was done by the director and a cut that was done by the studio, and the both were still only in like the 60% of the sort of approval, and the studio cut just edged it very so slightly.
Oh, okay. So,
and the director was a little bit not too keen on some of the stuff that the studio was saying.
Mm.
So that there's unfortunately a bunch of drama that happened behind this one as well.
So does that mean it's unlikely there's going to be another one?
It's kind of difficult to say, but it's does raise questions for the way that this new DC Studios is going to be doing their films.
Mm.
And how well this whole idea behind Gunn and Safran running is going to work out. It's a different situation than the Marvel Universe because Kevin Feige is primarily a producer and Gunn is primarily a director. So that makes it probably a little bit more that Gunn might feel he wants to meddle in the way that the films are cut and everything than something like Feige would for Marvel.
You see, for myself, I watched it. I've got nothing bad to say about it. To my mind, it's a good film. However, I have nothing spectacular to say about it. Yeah. For me, there was no actual standout moments. I didn't laugh once while watching it.
Oh, I'm sure I did laugh.
I did.
No disrespect to anyone who produced it or on screen, but there was no laugh out loud moments. There was no agonizing, tearful moments or excitement moments. It was
not even when Jason Momoa appeared on a flying motorbike and did Jason Momoa things.
Yes, he was playing Lobo. I have never understood or got the character of Lobo. Lobo is a 90s character. He was born and created in the 90s, so it's all the edgy, anarchy, risque thing, you know, like Venom. Yeah. I've never got Venom because he's another 90s anti-hero risque. Yeah. It just doesn't. And that type of character just doesn't work for me.
This was the character that Jason Momoa really wanted to play.
I don't deny it.
He lobbied hard to get this role.
Yeah. I mean,
he didn't really want to do Aquaman, but Lobo, I mean, he wants to actually do an X-rated, like 18-plus version of Lobo for DC. Yeah.
Credit is due. His characterization and Momoa himself is a better fit for Lobo than he would have been for Aquaman.
Right.
To my mind, he never quite fitted the role of Aquaman.
Where's Patrick Duffy? You need him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where he steps in quite well here.
Looking at the summary, some of the scenes are very reminiscent of John Wick, where a crypto gets
exactly.
Yeah. The dog's in trouble.
Oh, the dog's in trouble.
She's just slightly less aggressive about it than John Wick was.
Yeah.
I can see what they were going for with having her as a damaged character.
Yeah.
And her redemption arc.
I've got no complaints about that.
The problem is, I didn't find I really cared.
Yeah.
Really?
Captain Superman, I never really got him, certainly in the modern era, until this new one.
Yeah.
When I thought Superman's a bit boring, this Boy Scout. But actually,
yeah.
Seeing him done well.
Yeah.
And that's the sort of character I felt we needed at this time. Whereas Supergirl, although, yes, highlighting the mental health problems, yes, great. But otherwise, she just comes across as any other edgy superhero of today.
Well, perhaps that's giving time for development because she's still an awful lot younger than Clark Kent. Yeah, she's still essentially a teenager. So perhaps she's going through the drinking herself into a stupor stage. So perhaps she's going to develop out of this and become a more likeable character.
I'm a bit like with Keith there. I didn't dislike it. overly enjoy it. I must admit, about a third of the way through, I just did similarly think, oh, it's John Wick with a Supergirl. You know, the whole, my dog's being killed, I'm going to get you. And I started to suffer from uncomfortableness by the end of it. When I'm watching a film, if I start fidgeting in the seat, I know it hasn't got me. And I must admit, for about the last 20 minutes, I was finding I was fidgeting.
Did you need a wee as well?
Yeah, I'm doing it here as well. And yeah, I can't put my finger on what it was. I think I just got, I found you, you got escaped me. I found you, you've escaped me. There was just too much, you know, chasing these people round.
And the villain was weak.
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't amazingly good either. I just can't figure out what it is that didn't capture me about it. If it was on, I'd watch it, but I wouldn't necessarily go out of my way to watch it again.
I agree with you that the villain was weak. He had a decent villain. If you sort of squint at him, you can work out what he's come, where he's coming from.
Yeah.
You can realise he's got a backstory. This guy was just a sadist from top to bottom. And that led to something that, another big difference between Superman and Supergirl. Spoiler music. Superman would never have killed him.
No.
Yeah. But she did, because that was the only way out she could see for him. And I think she was right, because he was such a sadist with no redeeming features. He would have just carried on trying to kill the girl.
And there were no obvious authorities to take him in and imprison him either.
I mean, this was also another point that people who are familiar with the comic book had a little bit of a problem with. I mean, I did see the last page of the comic, and it does appear that she tried to kill him, but it's vague. Right. It's vague, and there is a frame where he's like is raising a hand after she's done the deed, which kind of makes it seem like she didn't actually kill him.
So it's left to your imagination.
It's left ambiguous, rather than this, which was left as definitely dead. Yes.
I think one of the things that didn't help with this film in terms of Supergirl fans going to see it is she's only drunk for that one or two first scenes in the bar.
Yeah.
And then that's it. But it's been very much portrayed in the trailers and that as if she's drunk through the entire thing. And I know the little girl whose name escapes me kept referring to the fact that you're drinking yourself. But it was just at the beginning. It wasn't like she was a drunk through the whole thing.
Yeah, agreed.
But that's how it seems to be being sold a bit. And a lot of people are maybe who haven't seen it are criticising it from that point of view.
Also, hooking into that slightly, she was introduced at the end of Superman being drunk.
Yeah, because she was celebrating her birthday.
Yeah, that sort of extended it.
A bit of a lush.
Yeah.
Although she wouldn't have stayed drunk very long on Earth. But,
no.
Well, yeah, that's why she went to a planet with a red sun.
Yes.
Is there a distinction between her personality of sort of being Supergirl and her earthly counterpart?
We weren't introduced to an earthly counterpart. Yeah. She spent most of the time off-planet.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, one final thing, just nipping back to the villain. I was suspicious that it was a Kryptonian to begin with. Because it seemed he seemed to display the same powers, or almost the same powers, as Supergirl.
Yeah.
Certainly with the strength. I know this may have been coppering, General Zod slightly, but I thought it would have been an interesting twist if it was another Kryptonian.
Is it
or at least a superpowered...
General Zod, Ursa, and Nom.
Yeah.
Of course, it wasn't when he got to that planet where there was the two suns, one yellow, one green.
We didn't see him out in the green sun. Yeah. We saw him in the red sun. You saw Supergirl hitting 7 shades of tar out of him that didn't seem to affect him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad he wasn't, because...
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's becoming like the Time Lords. Gallifrey's definitely destroyed, and Time Lords are popping up all over the place.
Well, this is a reboot, so you've got to draw a line under the Henry Cavill Kryptonians and Supermen. And General Zod is a major character from the comics books who is also a Kryptonian.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to upstage a potential future Zod by having, I am not
denying that. I would have appreciated some sort of reason or hint for his superpowers.
Just a line of dialogue. He's a thousand. He's straight for a thousand men, but he can't explain why.
And he's insane.
Yeah, he may be insane, but if you've got somebody who can crush concrete with their bare hands, who's pummeling you constantly in the face and doesn't affect you.
Well, it clearly did affect him. He was so insane, he wasn't allowing himself to show it.
It didn't affect him because we saw no blood, no bruises, no crushed face.
Is any of it cybernetics? Really? Has he been augmented for some of this?
Well, we saw loads of studs in his face, and that was the only thing we saw.
Or perhaps just the red planet that they were on, or whatever colour planet it was.
Red and green.
Perhaps wherever he was from, it enhanced him.
Yeah, perhaps. Maybe. It would have been nice. But it would have also been nice to have mentioned something in the story rather than this big hole we have that you can fly a lifeboat through.
Apparently he is in the comics that this is based on.
Yeah.
I guess one of the things that really kind of struck out for me was this is almost an origin story.
Yes.
I kind of wasn't really expecting an origin story. I mean, we didn't really get an origin story with Superman because we don't need it.
Yeah.
I didn't really think that we needed that for Supergirl as well. But I guess maybe
her history is a little less. I've forgotten that she was from Argo, from this
yes,
city.
Yeah, me too. And I mean, that's the other thing that I'm wondering if this is going to tie into the Man of Tomorrow, which is the next Superman film.
Presumably.
Because if I remember right from the comics, Argo City was captured by Brainiac.
Okay.
And it's been rumoured that Brainiac is going to be in the next film.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
so
we'll see.
We'll see if that works us out. Yeah. But it might not, because the way that they were doing the thing here was that a lot of people in that city were dying because of the exposure to all the minerals and kryptonite that was being exposed.
Yeah.
That might pan out into something in the next film. It might not.
Nipping back to it, it's the fact that the villain knew about the kryptonite.
Mm. Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Yeah, I don't know.
As we're talking about things unknown that should not be known.
Yeah.
The songs being sung on off-world planets.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, how?
Aliens visit Earth. No, steal our songs.
Radio waves. Radio waves go out in a straight line. They're being picked
up. It would have taken a lot longer for radio waves to get there.
Light speed wormhole. Aliens visit Earth and collect the songs.
Yep.
Yeah.
They collect people and songs.
Yep.
I have to admit, I was curious as to that, as to how he knew about Supergirl and Kryptonite. Mm. If their planet's destroyed, everyone thinks they were destroyed, and you just got this small outcrop. And I didn't mind it being a semi-origin story because I didn't know that much about Supergirl. I knew she was like Superman, putting a jettisoned off the planet, but I thought she was jettisoned at about the same time as Superman.
She was on a
life raft, so to speak, of it, and then jettisoned some time later.
Yeah, so Kal-El was sent off as a baby, and because he arrived the more direct route, he grew up on Earth and everything. But Kara, she got lost or something on the way, and the pod kept her in stasis and
took the scenic route.
It varies.
Wibbly things, and it varies and stuff. But yeah, I mean, there's distinct reasons as to why they are of differing ages now.
In Supergirl, the TV series, she was in the Phantom Zone for 24 years.
Yeah, something like that.
She's different to the Argo City thing, which is why I've forgotten about that. The film version was Argo City as well.
Yeah.
The original film at the 83, 84, whatever it was.
Weird Staggering Stories would like to apologise for Jay's shameless use of the word route.
Yes.
Sorry.
They routed the troops to get her there.
Gave her a good routing.
Anything else?
No, I think that's...
Gene, anything else?
No.
I didn't unenjoy it. Yeah. I didn't fantastically enjoy it. I wanted it to be better, but it was just...
Mm.
It's like maybe a 6 or 7 out of 10 rather than a 8 or 9.
I'll give it a 7 out of 10 because I was expecting it to be a 5 out of 10, so it was actually better than I thought it would be.
Okay, I'd give it a 6. Not a patch on Superman from last year, though.
No. Okay, we would like to know, what do you lovely people think of Supergirl 2026? Go to the cinema, watch it, and then write to us via show
at staggeringstories.net.
Woo!
Someone else who I've long suspected is from Krypton is hiding over there under a hat.
Oh, handles.
No. 1, 2, 3.
Squinty the Squirrel.
Hello, folded up and propped on a chair, Clara.
Very with the ghosts.
Hello, Graham.
Inky, Rinky, Dinky and Inky McSquirt-a-Lot.
Yep. Dangerous Churchill.
Nazi Spock.
Terence.
Dave Zilla the Mighty.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
No, I think that's Moomin by the coat stand.
Yeah, hiding.
The ashes of Grunhilde Knobnacker.
And she's back out.
Mm-hmm. Sandy. We forgot Sandy.
Oh,
and Sandy.
All right, so after melting in the cinema, we all headed home and we dug through our copious Big Finish collections and we prized out the disc for Lionesses in Winter, Doctor Who. Pause for music. Right, I didn't listen to this. I completely forgot. I thought we had another. I thought we had another week. So I'm going to sit here and look at my tablet.
Oh my goodness! I only listened to Dave on the way down here.
I listened to it this afternoon.
Yeah, 5 minutes. That's not too bad. Huh?
I actually quite like this one. I haven't heard many of the Jodie's Doctor's ones, and I quite enjoyed it. And I knew a little bit about the history of Henry II and
it's really complicated.
Eleanor. Yeah. It did though, but I couldn't put my finger on which one it reminded me of. It reminded me of one of the monthly stories, but I'm not sure about which one.
About the history of Henry II is really complicated.
Eleanor of Aquitaine. Yes. That was actually, I was very, very annoyed in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? That was the £1 million question for one of Chris Tarrant's ones, and I knew it. So annoyed. I didn't know the previous 9 questions.
That was the one you were shouting at the screen, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, bellowing, Eleanor of Aquitaine!
It doesn't matter what time you're in or wherever you are. There's always a dysfunctional family at Christmas. Yes.
Oh, yes.
This is the Christmas story. When was it actually released?
It must have been last Christmas, wasn't it? Yeah. November 2024. More or less. So it was a Christmas story.
It's based, or the it kicks off very much as the, what is it, Shakespeare, Lion in Winter? I know there's a film called The Lion in Winter, which is Edward II and Eleanor of Aquitaine.
Henry. Okay, yeah. So. I try to be comedic. I got that.
Yeah.
I definitely got occasional vibes of Carry On. I expected him to say infamy, infamy.
They've all got it.
Because they all did, apparently.
Yeah.
His entire family were trying to propose him.
I think that is historically accurate.
I assume it is.
The entire family
was imprisoned most of the time.
Yeah.
This was known as the Great Revolt.
Various members of the family trying to usurp each other.
Yeah, crazy. Because they were bored. They didn't have YouTube back then.
Well, you got the sons who is going to be Richard the Lionheart. Yes. And Bad King John from Robin Hood fame.
And the one who may or may not exist.
Dun, dun, dun.
Philippe. The eldest son, who is no longer with us, Philippe, starts appearing.
Yes.
Through the looking glass. It's a mirror thing again.
It's a mirror,
mirror universe.
Which
seems a bit on the nose for a Witarkan story, given we had a mirror universe.
And did he have references to past things that happened in TV shows as well, like the crack?
Yeah, because she referenced a crack in time is never good.
And even mentioned when the mirror cracked
and stuff like that. So. Yeah,
and they're also referencing what happened earlier in the Big Finish range with the first one, the vampires.
Yes, they did.
Yeah,
too, yes.
No, it is not an amazing piece, but it's an entertaining piece.
Yeah.
It's certainly not the worst one they've done, but it's not the best. So.
And they're wondering why a big blue wardrobe has appeared in the nursery. Yes.
In the nursery, yeah. Because there are certainly two distinct timelines or two universes that are merging because of the mirror.
And it's one of those ones that I don't know if this is in a box set where there's a flow story through it.
Yeah.
But it's listenable on its own.
Yeah, yeah.
There is no character in there that you have to know who they are or situation where you have to know what's going on. You could just dip in and listen to this one if you wanted to, and you're not losing anything in the plot because of that.
Yeah. No. To me, it was reminiscent of Father's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas, I mean, something's in our universe that shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And as I say, sort of either time is trying to heal itself or it's going to fragment completely.
And there's also the one, I can't remember what the Matt Smith one. Was it Matt Smith where the haunted house where there were...
Hyde.
That's it.
Yeah.
There's elements of Hyde. It's one of those stories where there's lots of little overtones of other stories, Big Finish and Two. Mm-hmm.
There are certain elements that are left open here.
Not explained at all, really.
Yeah, I mean, certain things like where did the mirror originally come from?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And more specifically, where did the entity go?
Yeah.
At the end of it? Now, I'm hoping they're going to follow that up and not do a standard Chibnall and forget about it.
Yeah. I didn't really get too much about what the entity was because it was very, very quickly done at the end.
But it was a non-corporeal entity.
It was a non-corporeal entity. Yeah. Personally, I got the impression that it went into the doctor or somehow attempted to possess the doctor. Mm. And that may come up. I'm hoping that may come up in a future story.
Yeah,
we're going to have a part two or that's going to be resolved. Like I said, unlike quite a few Chibnalls where it's just left. We forget about it.
If it went anywhere, it was probably Yaz.
Yeah, there's a lot, though, about Chibnall's era I'd like to forget about, but that's another matter.
There are a certain few lines in there that mostly the standout, and it's a shame, Karen?
What?
It's a shame you didn't listen to it, because the Doctor does reference the Doof Doofs.
Oh, did you see what happened?
No, no, yes. No. No. We have one reference, that's it. No EastEnders.
Doof doofs.
I got that reference there as well. I just wonder when the Doctor has time to watch.
Well, I mean, it's not the first time he's mentioned EastEnders.
Mm. Been there.
Yeah, well, it has been there, but it's been a case of, well, nothing can stop us now. Oh, you did have to say that, didn't you? Yeah. It's like, this is the best thing Christmas Walford's ever had. Oh,
yeah. It's just some of the throwaway lines in it, like, has he got a boyfriend? A badger?
Yes. He's got a pet badger.
Yeah, she is great in these audiences.
Yeah, all credit to him. Mataka is on form with this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she really is.
I wasn't madly keen on it. It wasn't Jodie's portrayal. It was the writing for the TV show. Yeah. So there's stories I like, but I wasn't overly struck by them. But I think I prefer her character on the audio. She seems a much stronger form of the Doctor.
Yeah.
Although there's a softness to her, there is a bit more authority with her in this one. And, she just seems more Doctor-ish.
Yeah.
Certainly this is a later stage 13.
Yeah.
Because it's just Yaz.
Yeah.
So we are probably before Flux, but only just before.
Yeah, I think it's, as we said during the actual series, it's because we've now reduced it down to one character, one doctor, one assistant, rather than Doctor and multiple.
Yes. Can imagine Big Finish having trying to deal with three companions.
Yeah.
I mean, they do with the Fifth Doctor range, but it's a tough job.
Yeah, it will be a question of keeping the plates in the air.
Yeah. Mm. It ends up with a much more complicated plot.
Yeah.
So you have to have them off doing stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas here, it's a 45-minute, quite a straightforward, by Big Finish standards, story.
Quite a short one. I mean, sort of easy enough to listen to in a lunch break.
Oh, yeah. I think I did twice.
One thing that didn't quite settle with me was the epilogue at the end of it. I mean, it almost sounded like she was turning and talking to the camera.
I think that is a trope of number 13, because quite a few times you've had that in the actual series, the television series, where she's sort of giving the moral of the story.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah, she's explaining it out, but she's not really explaining it to the companion.
Yeah, I think that is that has appeared more than once in the series itself. I get what you're coming from. I understand and agree to a certain extent with you. It's sort of today, children, the moral of the story is
today's moral is
the end of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe cartoon,
essentially. And so we got that a couple of times in you said Orphan 55.
That's particularly egregious.
Yeah, there is also something like it in The Woman Who Fell to Earth. When she's going with the connection, you've got to remember who you are from what you've been and going forward. And
okay.
So that was the first example of it, so it could be missed, but it's that sort of trope that's happened a few times.
Yeah. All in all, as a comedy Christmas one,
yeah,
I don't think it did particularly well. But as a story in general, I thought it was quite nice what it was.
Yeah.
Great performances all round, I think.
Certainly. Yeah.
Good fun.
Yeah, they seem to enjoy making it.
Yeah.
The enthusiasm and the excitement does come over on the disc and the story.
Yeah. I didn't get to listen to it because the Big Finish app is broken at the moment. They've updated their website again. But there is an extended behind the scenes as a separate download.
Yeah.
It does not work. I'm sure I can download it from the desktop, but it doesn't work on the app. So,
like a good Christmas story as well, it does have an element of, not the haunted house, but it does have an element of that kind of like horror where he's rotting away and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
There is an aspect of a ghost story to it.
Yeah. And the locals being a bit mad. the king and the queen just accepting this dead child.
This ghost.
Who's grown up into a full-grown man and accepting him as their son and weird stuff.
Currently having his third slice of pigeon pie.
Yeah.
So would we recommend that people listen to this one?
Actually, yes. Yeah. I would say, it's
not the strongest of the three, I don't think, so far.
But it's not the strongest, but it's a good romp.
It is. Yes.
Oh, have you finished talking?
We finished talking, yes.
I think that's it.
Okay, listen to this one. Write to us via show
at staggeringstories.net.
Right, do we have any feedback, young man?
We do have a bit of audio feedback.
Ooh, who's it from?
Ooh.
From Reese.
Hi, Reese.
Hello, Reese.
Hello, Staggerers.
Hello.
Hello, Pertwee. Hello, Cardboard Grinhilda Nobnacker. Hello, Cardboard Clara. Hello, Moomins. Hello, Goats. Hello, Inky and Dinky. Hello, Dave Zilla the Mighty. Hello, Dangerous Churchill. Hello, Nazi Spock. And I find that every time I do this, I can only remember a small group of the various things that listeners say hello to and you people say hello to as well. And each time it's a different group, and that is the group now. I've only got a finite number that I can remember each time I do this.
Yep.
And that was 30 seconds of trying to remember, so I'm just going to say hello. How are you all?
We're fine.
Hello.
Thank you.
I won't pause too long because I don't have much time to send this off to you. Same case as last time. I'm recording it on the same day that you're recording, and I hope Adam spots it. Otherwise, next time, there'll be two pieces from me because I hope to do some feedback for the next episode. But this time round, it's not going to be too much from me because I don't have much time. I went to see Disclosure Day, and that was very good. I managed to catch it in the cinema. I think it's got the last few screenings. It's had quite a long run in the cinema, which I find quite important. I had a lot of fun, and I thought, you know, it was so good. I like that a lot. I'm probably going to get the 4K Blu-ray.
Oh, okay.
And then I realized, actually, I don't have any Steven Spielbergs on 4K or even just normal Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And so I kind of thought, I would like to expand my collection because physical media is important to me, especially because, and I believe Adam and I have talked about this on my podcast, but maybe even here, I've stopped subscribing to most of the streaming services. If I'm interested, I'll subscribe for a month and I'll watch as much as I can and the things that I like on one of them, then I'll stop and I'll go to another one. That's what Adam does.
Indeed.
I know, but I've been hosting them on my own personal server. So I ripped them off my Blu-ray, which I paid for legally, and I put them on my own server, which is also legal. Yes. But yeah, I do that sort of thing these days.
Yeah.
And it means you're curating your tastes. It means you're a little bit behind sometimes on some of the big shows that come out. I haven't seen the start of this season's or this year's House of the Dragon. I'd like to. I will. I think we've got HBO Max now. It's not just put on a network that was called Binge or a streaming service that was called Binge. I think we've actually got HBO Max now.
Yeah, I think we have.
I might subscribe when Lanterns comes out, which is a DC show.
Oh, yeah.
I'm into superheroes, so I'll subscribe then and I'll watch House of the Dragon then. So you've got to plan it a bit. You've got to avoid spoilers a bit, but yeah, it saves money in the long run. Anyway, physical media. I wanted to talk about that a bit and ask you, maybe this year or just of all time, what sort of physical media would you consider buying if you were going to take the same path that I've taken and that I know Adam does one streaming service a month sort of thing and shops around between them? If you're going to do something like that, what would you like? Because I've decided that I'm going to get Project Hail Mary on 4K.
Yep, yep.
I'm going to get Supergirl on 4K because I really like that film. It was really poignant and emotional. I'm frankly amazed how many people didn't view it that way.
Thank you, Reese.
In fact, the people who viewed Superman, last year's Superman movie, as poignant and emotional on a really deep level, saw things in that film that even today, I love that film.
Yeah,
I don't. I have to kind of push to see what they mean. Whereas I really connected with the Supergirl story. Different strokes for different folks. And I'm going to get Disclosure Day. And I'll probably end up getting The Odyssey when it comes out. Yes. I'm a big Christopher Nolan fan. Mm. And I think by the time this episode comes out, which is this coming Sunday, I probably will have seen it on Saturday. Oh, I'm planning to see it.
Next weekend.
But yes, I'm wondering what sorts of things would you get out of those? Do you think you might get those on physical media? If you're interested, you might not be interested in streaming services, might be good enough for you, and that's fine. But what sort of things would you like to get? I've taken the approach of franchises makes it easier. So I've got Doctor Who, I've got New Who, minus, I think, Flux and Jodie's first season. Yeah, I've somehow it was available in the store that has our Blu-rays and things like that. They didn't have her first season, so I got the second one. But I'll get my hands on those eventually. Flux and season 12 or 13. Whichever
Flux
one was her first. I've lost track these days. Jeez, I have lost track. But then I've also got most of the Marvels. I don't have Captain America 4 and the Fantastic Four. Two fours there. I skipped one of them because I really liked Thunderbolts, so I got Thunderbolts. I have to import those because not for some reason, you understand why. They want you to pay a continuous subscription on Disney Plus as opposed to just pay once and then have the thing.
Yeah.
But Disney stopped physical releases in Australia and New Zealand.
I wonder if they restart.
I have to import those these days, but I have got most of the Marvel films and most of the Star Wars films. Eventually, I'll import The Mandalorian and Grogu when it comes out, and I'll have all of them. But then I started thinking, well, after Disclosure Day, I thought, oh, well, I don't have many Steven Spielberg films, so I think I need to get those.
Not really.
So I'll go by director. And then something that's happened today, which is very sad, is that the wonderful and legendary and very versatile actor Sam Neill has passed away, and honestly quite devastated this evening. It's really sad. And I was thinking about all the films I like of his, and I'm thinking I'm going to get a few of them, not all of them, but a few of those do belong a little curated physical media collection. So it might not be a big deal for you, physical media, but what sorts of things would you get? Would you get a Sam Neill film just out of respect and you know, nostalgia? I don't know if you own them already, but you might get the Jurassic Park films and things like that just because they're classics, and it's good to have some classics in a collection or something like that. Yeah, what would you do? That actually did turn out to be quite a substantial bit of feedback, even though I thought it'd be quick. Is some love and respect and fond memories to Sam Neill, and a note of gratitude to you, Staggerers, for the podcast. And with that, I will leave you long before this reaches the 10-minute mark, which I feel like is my average. Take care, dear team. You've all done very well.
Thank you, Bruce. Well, I like Adam, and I think all of us, the idea of not having physical media.
Yeah.
Can't be going there.
No.
If I was starting again,
yeah,
it would be all the franchises. It would be obviously Doctor Who, Star Trek, Star Wars, Babylon 5.
Yep.
Because I love them, I would also get all the Disney animations.
Don't have any.
And Jurassic Park. I love the idea of going by director because we haven't got Schindler's List and we really should have Schindler's List.
I think I'll go on DVD.
No, we
haven't
got it
at all.
Should
be on Blu-ray at least, really, shouldn't
it? It's something we haven't done over the last couple of years so much is buy Blu-rays because we've had the streaming, but we really should start doing it again.
There are certain things that I want to like to keep, such as I've been trying to catch up on the get a physical copy of The Strange New World, Star Trek Strange New World, because that is...
Those all on 4K.
Yeah, that's very good. I've got all the Marvels up to Endgame, and then I've sporadically got others, like certainly... To be completist, because I'm a sad little person, I will get...
you are among friends.
I will get Spider-Man Brand New Day when that comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'll be one. Because that still follows the trend from the original. It's about the only one that's left of the original.
Right. I think I've got those Tom Holland Spider-Men.
Yeah.
As for myself, the rate at which I've bought sort of DVDs and Blu-rays, it's slowed to a trickle.
Yeah.
I mean, but there again, well, I've got all of Classic Who and some of New Who on DVD and the rest on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Upcoming Blu-rays, well, basically, whenever I go to the cinema, I always make a point of sort of buying the film when it's released on Blu-ray. Mandalorian Grogu, Disclosure Day, and The Odyssey when it comes out.
Definitely The Odyssey.
Yeah. Yeah,
and, we're all in going to be seen as old people.
Yes.
Yeah. But, yeah. And
yes.
I don't care. No. When the internet caves, we'll still have our Blu-rays.
And also one set of Blu-rays I would like to get would be one to six of The Expanse.
Oh, right. Yeah. I've got 1 to 3. I'm not sure any more have been released in the UK. Have they? There's a box set of 1 to 3, which I own. But beyond that, I think you have to get them imported. I'm not sure. Because they go to Amazon or something? Yeah, Amazon. Mm.
Similarly, I'm not as prolific a buyer of Blu-rays as I used to be or DVDs. I'll get the new Who, not the new Who ones, but I'll get the Who ones when they come out and are remastered.
Yeah.
And there's a few films that I'll buy where I particularly like the films, but it's more when it's a series that I really like. And I think it's things like I can still go and watch An Unearthly Child whenever I want. Because I went and bought it out on Blu-ray or on DVD. And there is a generation that everything they've watched has been on TV without realising that the stuff that they're watching now will be one day the stuff of their youth and may not be as popular, just as a lot of the things we might collect on Blu-rays and that are the programmes of our youth, which are, I'll say it very quietly, 40 years ago.
Jane, ask you a question.
And aren't always on TV. So, I mean, if I wanted to sit down and watch The Clangers, I couldn't necessarily watch it. But if I bought the DVD of The Clangers, I can watch it. Still. And I think there are some people that are realising that if it's really important to them, they've got to get the DVD or the Blu-ray or something like that and can't rely on it being available for streaming.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question, Jean?
Yes.
Is there a cat playing on your lap? I can hear a tinkly bell.
No, that might be my... I've got... the microphone is actually attached to my necklace.
I was expecting a tail to come shooting across the screen.
One's lying on her side, Sparko, and the other one's having a good wash of her front paws.
As for my DVD collection, I haven't really been doing anything of that with the past couple of years, and right now I'm to the point where I don't know whether I should be just relying now on US imports, because everything in my collection is all Region 1. Because, of course, living in North America, that's all I was really getting. Or whether I should start mixing it with Region 2.
But don't most Blu-ray players, etc.,
you can hack
do
them,
multi-region?
Yes. So most Blu-rays are multi-region.
Yeah. What about so 4Ks like tend to be multi-region discs.
Yeah, I mean, I think generally what I'm thinking is, since I don't actually have a dedicated Blu-ray player, I just have a drive that I connect to my desktop machine. I could probably use that and just do the import ripping from there.
Yeah,
and
just rip it. Yeah.
I mean, my Blu-ray player's been hacked to sort of take any region DVD. So
yeah.
I don't know. We use the PS5, don't we? Yeah. So, and I don't know if that.
That probably won't be region 3.
Yeah, my Blu-ray player used to be a PS3.
Mine did too, for many years.
Unfortunately, surprisingly, that was only 110 voltage. It wasn't dual voltage, really surprising.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you get a cheap DVD or Blu-ray player, they tend to be region 3. I'm not named one, just a generic one. They can quite often play multi-region.
Yeah. We're just going to start calling you Tinkerbell, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I mean, truth be told, I haven't nowhere to put a DVD player, Blu-ray player in my room right now anyway.
I've got literally hundreds of discs. But for upcoming stuff that you've been on recently, I will definitely buy Project Hail Mary day it comes out, I think, or soon as. And the He-Man, I think I'll pick that up on
It was surprisingly good.
It was.
Disclosure Day, I was less impressed with, I'd say. I don't think I'd be immediately picking that up.
I still haven't seen that one.
But on Friday, I had the week off last week. On Friday, I actually spent the day, got a train from Brighton to Portsmouth and got off at various stops along the way, Hove, Chichester, Havant, went to the local CX's
and
charity shops. I picked up loads of DVDs and Blu-rays.
Did you see my cathedral?
Oh, yeah.
I did. Including the entire series, seasons 1 to 9 of The X-Files DVD for £30, 55 discs.
Wow.
Which is not bad. And Almost Human, which is a Carl Urban one season thing, the entire season for the charity shop for £1.50.
Jeez.
Hardly impossible to find anywhere.
Yeah.
And even A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, Volume 3. Again, possible to find anywhere, but found in a charity shop. Yeah.
All right. Is that it?
I think so.
That is it.
Lead us out, Crumbly.
And so, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of another podcast.
Aww. Thank God.
Aww.
But never fear. In the next one, there'll be more of the same. More fun for Volunteer and Jollity.
More
news and reviews. More who old and new.
Are they?
So, until that...
D... Daring, dazzling, death-defiling, death-defyingly dull, devastatingly dangerous, divinely decadent,
dyslexic
dog
comes
dancing
towards us.
This is me, Crumbly, saying, be seeing you.
Farewell.
Goodbye.
Cheerio.
Au revoir.
Don't think of it as dying early. Think of it as leaving before the rush.
You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, Series 1, number 502, featuring Adam Purcell, Andy Simpkins, Fake Keith, Jay, Gene Riddler, and the real Keith Dunn. Views expressed here are those of the speakers and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers on the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this has been an El Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net.
I thought, I'd better find a pub with a payphone somewhere. So I tried the Sussex Barn just down the road.
Mm.
Yeah, I walked in there. This 18-year-old girl cleaning the table said, oh, excuse me, have you got a payphone in here? She just looked at me with a blank expression. What's a payphone?
Oh, you sweet summer child.
I said, a phone you put money in to make calls.
See, now we're all knowing how our grandparents felt.
Yeah. These newfangled inventions,
I
they won't last.
Know. Yes, so, all a flash in the pan.
So, yeah, I mean, I tried the Dog and Bacon next, see if they had a phone in there, because they used to have one in the main entrance, you know, surrounded by a load of sort of taxi cards and such.
Yeah. But that was in 1985.
Are you sure they were taxi cards?
Yeah.
Well, they did have pictures of rather pneumatic young women on there.
How about mine? Is mine on? Can you see my little line going up and down?
I don't even
wibbling?
Know where you're looking. Oh, you're like, I'm going to say it. That just looks like a white square. What the frick, man?
See, that's what Jean, I do when Adam's doing it. That's what I'm looking at, just to make sure all the little lines are going up and down.
The screen is about 3 inches by 2 inches, yeah. And I'm sitting a good six feet away from it. And he looks at me and says,
pointed.
Can you see it going up and down?
Yeah, can see one going again.
Okay, testing. 1, 2, 3. Tappity, 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 tappity,
tappity, tappity, tappity. Time again and again and again and again. Oompa, boompa, boopity, boompa,
boompa, boompa, boopity, boom. Oompa, loompa, stick it up your jumper.
Make noise, Adam.
Noise!
Yep, definitely
noise.
There.
Whoa. Okay, a few seconds of silence with no silliness.
For Anne Widdicombe.
3, 2, 1. Oh, God!
I was just thinking,
you
was like,
won that
I just,
one.
I was just thinking at the beginning, nobody told the wood pigeon to be quiet.
No.
Oh, dear.
I would just like to be on record that Karen laughed first.
I did that time. Usually it's sad. I even made a silly face, but I don't think he was looking.
No, close my eyes.
Do we have the clapper board again?
We don't need it now.
Oh!
No.
Because applied it's all, to science.
It's all recording on that one device.
Oh, no. This is so clever.
But does it record me at the same speed as the sound of coming out?
That was nearly a sentence there. Nearly.
It was close enough.
It should indeed be in synchronous properly.
There's no delay this time now.
No, you won't be getting out of sync over time. Although
no delay on the audio recording, but definitely there is a delay
visuals.
Between
yeah,
the visuals.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. That's what I wasn't sure if that's also reflected in the audio.
Nah, you're all right.
Donald Trump and his red cards. Yeah.
You know what they did? You know they Trump basically got that red card suspended.
I heard about
that. Yeah. And England player got sent off, and it was a red card.
Yeah,
no problem with that. Yeah. But of course, you appeal the red card
yeah.
and ask if it can be suspended. So they made it a 2-game ban instead of a one game ban.
Oh, really?
They're not even pretending to be
biased. Yeah. No.
I had a wonderful name for us of GM, the Infantino guy. Mm. They called him Sycophantino.
Sycophantino, that's good.
And yes, no. Gene,
you're too early.
Gene's here. Sorry.
Could you describe yourself as I'm the head of Gene?
Okay.
Since Karen's not ready, I'll
do
this one.
Don't you dare start the news. Bastard.
Alien, colon.
Don't you?
Did you
just fart?
No, I went, And anyway, if I did fart, you wouldn't have been there to hear me.
What a meaty one.
Oh, I've got a headphone socket, yeah.
You can plug it in the headphone socket.
Here you are. Come and get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, dudes. I mean, God. There you go. It's down in the corner.
And so, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of another podcast.
Sorry, my phone beeped.